Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, you can visit teacherluke.wordpress.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. First of all, I'd just like to say hello, and I've already done that. Good. The next thing I'd like to say is that there is a transcript for most of what I'm saying in this episode. So if you want to read and follow the things that I'm saying, then you can just visit teacherluke.wordpress.com and find episode 162, and there you'll be able to read what I'm saying, okay? And the transcript should start pretty much now, okay? So here we go. Hi everyone, how are you doing? I hope you're fine and that life is generally treating you well. All's well here at Luke's English Podcast. I've just had some soup, which was nice. It was tomato soup. It was delicious. The last episode I recorded was all about having babies, creating human life, and all that kind of stuff, which is a fascinating topic, if a little bit sensitive, intimate, personal, and ultimately quite heavy. I mean, it's not a light topic, is it? It's not like chatting about cooking recipes, or golf, or movies, or something. You know, hi, how are you? Haven't seen you in a while. What have you been up to? Oh, not much, just working. Watched the new Tolkien movie. Had a baby. Oh yeah, how is The Hobbit? That's no way to talk about my child. No, I mean the movie, The Hobbit. How was it? I don't really care about your baby. Oh yeah, right. Well, yeah, The Hobbit was pretty good, actually. And the baby's fine. No, it's not. It's a fairly heavy topic, but interesting nonetheless. Also, it's just something that comes up now and again in conversation. When you meet a pregnant woman, you'll undoubtedly have to have the pregnancy conversation. And will you know all the relevant words and phrases to be able to survive that conversation? Well, in this podcast, you're going to learn all of that stuff, okay? In the last episode, I didn't get through everything, and I didn't say everything I wanted to say on this subject. I made a list of vocabulary of phrases and words around the topic of pregnancy, so I'll be explaining that in this episode, but also I'd like to discuss the subject a little bit from the man's perspective, and then you're going to listen to comedian Louis C.K. talking about his experience of becoming a father, which is a pretty honest and frank personal account. Why have I chosen to cover this topic in this episode? Am I going to have a baby myself? Am I pregnant? Well, I have put on some weight, and I did feel a bit sick this morning, but I think that's beer, not a baby. But seriously, it's just because I think it's interesting. I'd like to have kids, not right now, I'm recording a podcast, but soon, and so I'm curious about all of this. I'm a grown-up man, honestly, I am. And I should be well informed about these things. Also, I think it's a good way to introduce you to lots of new vocabulary. So first, let's go through the vocab. You will have heard Amber and me say some of these things in the previous episode. And so I wonder how many of these words you know. Can you use them all in your conversations? Let's see. So let's begin with the vocab. Okay, so I've got my list of vocab here in front of me. Let's go through it, shall we? The first couple of terms, the first one would just be she's pregnant, which obviously just means that she's going to have a baby. There are other ways of referring to the fact that a woman is pregnant. For example, you could say she's expecting. She's expecting. She's expecting to have a baby, right? She's expecting. Now, I wonder, actually, while I'm going through this vocab, I'm going to comment on not just what these things mean, but also when they're used. So I personally wouldn't say she's expecting. I don't think so. I'd say she's pregnant, she's going to have a baby. But you might read the word expecting in like a newspaper article in reference to, sort of with reference to someone having a baby. So expecting, or she's expecting, means she's pregnant. A slang term is she's preggers. Preggers. So preggers is like short for pregnant. She's preggers. Okay. Again, that's kind of a slang thing. People might say it with a bit of ironic humour. You know, have you heard about Amber? Yeah, she's well preggers, meaning that she's like really pregnant. So you could sort of say that with a bit of fun. You might read that in a tabloid newspaper or something as well. It's the kind of informal English that you might read in The Sun or the Mirror or something like that. So preggers, meaning pregnant. Let's see, what else? She's with child. She's with child. Now, I wouldn't say that, but you might read it somewhere. To be with child, not with a child, but just with child, that means pregnant. We've got some other sort of informal slang expressions or idioms that you might hear with reference to being pregnant. And these, you know, they're quite slang, they're slang terms. They're a little bit rude. So one of them is that she's up the duff. She's up the duff. Up the duff. Now, don't ask me what the duff is, okay? But basically, she's up the duff means that she's pregnant. Now, watch out for that. It's a bit rude. The word duff isn't a rude, like, sexual word. It's just a little bit of a kind of unsophisticated way of saying that someone's pregnant. So be careful. She's up the duff. Another one is she's got a bun in the oven. She's got a bun in the oven. Okay, a bun is like a small bread roll. There's lots of words that we use to describe bread rolls in England, depending on which part of the country you're in. A bun, a roll, a batch, a barm, a bap. These are all words for the same thing, a little roll of bread. A bun is a common word for it. She's got a bun in the oven. That's quite an illustrative expression, isn't it? If you can imagine an oven, it's hot, it's warm, it's sort of there's a bun in there, and it's developing, and at the right time the bun will come out of the oven and it will be ready. So she's got a bun in the oven. There you go. She's pregnant. She's knocked up. To be knocked up. That's K-N-O-C-K-E-D, up. Knocked up. There's a movie called Knocked Up. A kind of comedy from America. Again, it's slang. It could be taken the wrong way if you said it. Oh, yeah, congratulations, I hear that you're knocked up. See, sometimes it's used in a negative way, you know. So be careful with that. But you might read it. You might sort of see it or hear it in a movie or something. To be knocked up means to be pregnant. You could say that she's a mum-to-be. A mum-to-be, meaning that she's going to be a mum, so she's a mum-to-be. So let's see, what about the moment when the baby is first created? So this refers to when the mother and father first actually have sex, and the moment of conception, okay? Not Inception, that's a movie starring Leonardo DiCaprio. No, this is conception. They could make a movie called Conception, which would be, I don't know, maybe Lars von Trier could make a movie called Conception. It would be a very art house movie about making babies. It would basically be an intelligent porno. Anyway, Conception refers to the moment when, for example, the egg is fertilized by the sperm. We're getting a little bit scientific here, but the baby was conceived. Let's say, to be conceived. And sometimes people say things like, oh, let's take the example of David Beckham. They called their kid Brooklyn, didn't they? And apparently that's because Brooklyn was conceived in Brooklyn. So they were in Brooklyn at the time. And they, obviously, they must have had sex. And that's where the kid was conceived, okay? To be conceived. In the list here, we've got some other sort of scientific terms. These aren't terms that you generally use in normal conversation. I asked Amber about these things. These aren't words that she's used a lot, to be honest, during her pregnancy, but they're still words that relate to the subject. They're kind of biological, scientific terms. You've got the egg, of course, the egg, that's the you know, what the woman produces, and then the sperm is what the man produces. And if the sperm and the egg meet each other, you know, one lucky sperm manages to get into the egg, and then that's when fertilization occurs. This is like a biology lesson, isn't it? Remember those awkward sex education lessons that you had at school? Well, you're reliving them again, but through the medium of Luke's English podcast. So then what happens is you get an embryo. An embryo is like a very early development of a baby. It's not even considered a life form, really. It's just a collection of cells that's the embryo. And after the embryo develops, it becomes a fetus, which is, you know, like it looks like starting to look like a human. You can sort of start to make out the body and the head and so on. And the fetus then develops into the baby. Right. So next item on the list is a pregnancy test. So this is when, let's say, a woman thinks that she's pregnant, but she's not sure. Maybe she's kind of, her period has stopped. She stopped getting her period, and she's like, oh God, why have I stopped getting my period? What's going on? Maybe she's starting to feel a bit sick or other symptoms. So she goes to the shop, she goes to the chemist and gets a pregnancy test. So there you go, it's just called a pregnancy test. There you are. Morning sickness. Morning sickness. This is how we describe the fact that sometimes when a woman is pregnant, usually at the beginning of her pregnancy, she feels sick in the mornings. She might have to go and vomit or throw up or something, which is just generally feels some nausea. We call it morning sickness. This is slightly disgusting, this bit, but you know, it's reality, man. This is what women go through when they get pregnant. Also, they can feel a bit hormonal. Do you know what I mean? They feel a bit hormonal, meaning that because of the pregnancy, a lot of hormones have been released inside the body, and they can make her feel a range of different emotions. She might start to feel a bit emotional, a bit stressed out, maybe a bit angry, a bit upset. So generally, you can say that she's feeling a bit hormonal at the moment because of the pregnancy. It's not just when a woman is pregnant. Women feel a bit hormonal sort of once a month, don't they? Around the time of their period, let's say. PMT, premenstrual tension. That's when women sort of get a bit stressed out around the time of their period. Men, you know what I'm talking about. You know when when your girlfriend or your wife kind of goes a bit crazy and gets really angry with you? It could be because you've done something wrong. You know, don't get me wrong. It could be that you've just been an asshole and you're not doing what you should be doing. But sometimes you get the impression that maybe it's just her period or something. I don't know. I don't mean to be offensive to women, but come on, you have to admit, sometimes you take it out on us a little bit. Fair enough, you know, it's all right. Now, we've got another expression here, antenatal. Antenatal, that's A-N-E-T-A... Wait a minute. A-N-E-N-A-T-A-L, antenatal, and it means before birth. So you talk about antenatal classes. These are those classes that women attend with their partner, hopefully. And that's where they learn about, you know, all the things that they need to know regarding, you know, preparing for the birth, you know, all that sort of thing. I've never been to an antenatal class, so I don't really know what they learn. You might have an antenatal scan. A scan, that's where the pregnant woman's belly is scanned. And then you can see images of the unborn baby. And it's usually a very touching, very emotional moment. Oh my God, look at his little hands. And then the doctor says, you know, would you like to know if it's a boy or a girl? And if the couple, you know, have made that decision, they might say yes. And the doctor might go, well, look, there you go. We can see quite clearly that it's a boy. The husband probably feels a moment of intense pride. Oh my God, look at my son's genitals. What a weird moment that is. It could, obviously, though, it could feel proud if it's a girl as well. You know, it's horses for courses, isn't it, I suppose? Is that the right idiom to use? Who knows? Well, yes, it is. All right. Okay, next word I've got here is kicking. Kick, to kick. Well, it's fairly clear, isn't it, really? You know, kick, to kick, hit something with your foot, you kick a football. Well, babies, when they're inside where is it that they're inside? The uterus, that's it. When the baby is inside the uterus, sometimes they get a bit active in there and they kick with their legs. So sometimes women are like, oh, I can feel the baby kicking. There you go. Right. To give birth, this is the act of actually, you know, of when the baby comes out. To give birth, to have a baby, right? And we talk about the due date, D-U-E, the due date. So you might say, it's very common to say to a pregnant woman, so when's it due? When's it due? Or do you know the due date? When's it due? When are you due? And then she would say, oh, it's due on the 30th of January. You know, have you got a due date? When's it due? Yep, 30th of January. Oh, it's exciting. The due date, all right? And then when that date finally comes around, how does the woman know that it's happening? Well, first of all, she's going to feel contractions. Contractions, that's when... God, how do I explain contractions? It's basically when the muscles start to... do their thing, you know. It's when the birth begins. I'm not a biologist or a scientist. There's probably some women out there listening to this thinking I know exactly what contractions is, but you know, it's basically when the birth begins. You get, the woman starts to get contractions, and it's usually quite painful. Also the water breaks. So a woman's water breaks, I suppose that's just the fluid in the uterus comes out, and it's like there's water water comes out, and that basically means, oh god, it's started, get to a hospital if the water breaks. I imagine there are some men listening to this kind of going, what? You know, if you are freaking out, then don't worry, it's all right, it's fine, it happens all the time. There's no need to freak out, there's no need to be disgusted. It's just biology, it's just normal, okay? So just chill out, don't worry about it. To go into labor, that means to start giving birth, to go into labor, all right? Then in the hospital, you would have the part of the hospital where women give birth, and it's called the maternity ward, okay? Hospitals are divided into different wards. A ward, that's W-A-R-D, a ward. So each ward is responsible for dealing with different things. So where babies are born, that's the maternity ward. All right, maternity is an adjective used to talk about, you know, being a mother or having a baby. For example, we use the expression maternity leave, that's when a woman's having a baby, or she's just had a baby and she has some time off work, maternity leave. You also have paternity leave as well. That's when a man gets usually a couple of weeks off work because his wife or his partner has just given birth. So maternity leave, paternity leave, and the maternity ward where the birth happens in the hospital. In the maternity ward, you have a specialist who's responsible for delivering the baby, and that is the midwife, okay? The midwife. The midwife can be a man or a woman. According to Amber, for some reason, all the midwives that she's met are all kind of really young, hot, 20-something girls. Why is this? It's a mystery. But anyway, midwife. And the job of being a midwife, or the profession, is called midwifery, okay? Midwifery. Just slightly strange pronunciation on that one. A midwife, but the occupation is called midwifery, or being a midwife, all right? And as I said, the job of the midwife is to deliver the baby, to deliver it. I mean, deliver it where? You might be thinking, what, deliver it to someone's house? No, just deliver it into the world, I think. That's basically how it works, to deliver it into the world. There are some stories, like some parents tell their kids, when their kids ask where babies come from, some parents tell them that basically a magic stork, which is like a big bird with a big beak, a magic stork flies in and carries the babies and sort of delivers them like that. But sorry, that's not how it happens. No, it's usually delivered by a midwife in a hospital. It's not quite as mysterious and innocent as a bird just delivering it for no reason. Some people say that it's a miracle. The childbirth is a miracle. There's a comedian called Bill Hicks who kind of doesn't agree with that. He's got a rather he's got a rather unromantic view of childbirth, and he says childbirth is no more a miracle than eating some food and a turd coming out of your ass, which is not a very nice way of putting it, but it's quite funny in my opinion, just my opinion. Anyway, so you might believe it's a miracle. You might think that it is a miracle, but it's certainly special. It must be amazing to actually create a human life. I mean, that must be amazing. Is it a miracle? Well, it's biology, isn't it? I don't know if it's really a miracle. You can think whatever you like about that, really. So the midwife delivers the baby, and obviously the birth is quite a dramatic event, isn't it? Particularly for the mother, but also for the father, who kind of gets extremely stressed out. Goodness me, I'm not really looking forward to that. When and if it happens to me, it's going to be a stressful moment for everyone concerned. So it obviously can be painful. So the woman has the option of having an epidural, which is a kind of painkiller, which just makes it easier for the birth to happen. All right. Now, if you're squeamish, then sorry. But an epidural is, as Amber mentioned in the previous episode, it's basically an injection. They take a long needle and they inject painkillers into your spine. Oh, that's got to hurt. But maybe that's preferable to, you know, giving birth to a person. Yes. A lot of women, you know, they want to have a natural birth. That means that they have a baby without using any drugs. And they're quite, you know, strong-minded about it. No, I'm going to have a natural birth. And then when it comes to the actual moment of birth, they're like, screw it, I don't care, just give me an epidural. An epidural, all right? So to give birth, the birth, the baby is born, to be born. I've mentioned a natural birth. The umbilical cord, that's the lifeline that connects a child to his mother, the umbilical cord. That gets cut, someone cuts the umbilical cord, and that's why we all have a belly button, we all have a tummy button, because at one time, that was where the umbilical cord connected us to our mother. Wow, isn't it strange and mysterious and amazing? Anyway, so the umbilical cord sort of eventually becomes that what's left of the umbilical cord becomes like the belly button. The placenta, there you go, there's another biological word. The placenta is like a kind of, I suppose, here's my definition of it. It's a kind of a bag that the baby lives inside while he's in his mum's uterus. And this placenta provides the baby with all his nutrients and stuff while he's developing. All right. So next word is twins. Twins. Obviously, that's when two kids are born at the same time, more or less. And you can have two different types of twin. You've got, a number of different types of twin. You've got identical twins. Those are ones that are exactly the same. And then you've got non-identical twins. That's where they've come from two different embryos. Two different eggs were fertilized. Oh dear, I'm wandering into slightly dangerous territory because I can't explain scientifically the difference between an identical twin and a non-identical twin. But I think you get it, right? I think you get the idea. Identical twins, they look the same. Not identical twins are born, you know, at the same time, pretty much, but they don't look the same. So they both were, they both gestated in the womb at the same time. Yes, there you go. Right, so we also have conjoined twins. Conjoined twins, these are twins who are actually like kind of joined together when they're born, conjoined twins. And these days, you know, that if it's sometimes possible to separate them, conjoined twins. We used to call them Siamese twins, but for some reason I think that that's not really said anymore. We don't say Siamese twins, but I think it's a bit politically incorrect. Why Siamese? No, we say conjoined twins now. Also, it might be possible to have three kids at the same time, triplets. That is, triplets. Okay, and then that's it. That's pretty much it for the birth. After that, you have, you know, all of the messy stuff like nappies. Nappies are what kids wear around, you know, around their waist so that when they have to do a number one or number two, they don't make a mess. They just do it into the nappy. And you have disposable nappies or reusable nappies. As Amber said, you might have to change a child's nappy sort of 10 times a day. I didn't realise that. I didn't realise it was that often. So that's why some people choose to use reusable nappies, because it means that they're not sort of throwing away lots of disposable nappies every day and then sort of doing things that are bad for the environment. But if you do use reusable nappies, you've got to wash them. That's a lot of washing to do. God, it's hard work. It's a big responsibility. There's lots of things involved in it. And then later on, you've got to explain things to children as they grow up. You've got to talk about the facts of life and the birds and the bees, which is kind of what I'm talking about here. The facts of life, or the birds and the bees, that's basically how children are born, how people are born, where babies come from. We call it the facts of life, or the birds and the bees. Now, I have more words here on this subject. I've made a separate list of sort of negative words, or words that have sort of negative associations, which are a bit sensitive. I didn't really want to talk about this stuff with Amber, because obviously she's about to have a baby. I didn't want to dwell on all of this stuff. But nevertheless, here are some other words that have negative associations regarding pregnancy. The first one is abortion. Abortion, that's when, let's say, you know, the parents or the mother decide that they can't look after the baby, they don't want to have the baby, and so they choose to get rid of it. They have the baby aborted, an abortion. It's a very divisive issue. People have strong opinions on this. Some people are strongly against abortion for various reasons, and others, you know, think that women should have the choice. So this debate, or these positions, are explained by using the terms pro-life and pro-choice. Okay, if you're pro-life, that means that you don't believe in abortion, you're against it, you're pro-life. And if you're pro-choice, that means that you believe that women should have the choice whether to have the baby or not. So if, you know, pro-lifers often will say things like, you know, aborting an unborn child is like an act of homicide. It's like killing the kid. And pro-choice people say, well, it's not really it's not really the case, because they're not fully developed at a certain number of weeks. So it's not the same as a homicide. And also, it's better to give women the choice, because if they're obliged to have the kid, they might not be able to look after him. And as a result, this child will grow up in the wrong way, and it could be, you know, a terrible life. This has suddenly become very heavy, hasn't it, this episode? Let's move on. We've got other words like to induce labour. To induce labour. That means to make a woman, to basically make the pregnancy begin. So if a woman is overdue, so the due date has come and gone and she still hasn't given birth, it might be necessary to start the pregnancy, I don't know how they do it, but it might be necessary to actually induce the labour. So to induce labour means to actually start the birth, you know, because the woman is overdue. All right. Then, of course, there's the other option, which is to have a caesarean or a C-section, they call it. A caesarean might be if there are complications during the birth, and that's when there's an operation. And instead of passing the child through the cervix, instead there's an operation and the child is removed from the uterus. That's called a caesarean or C-section. Okay, right. I think you know what. I'm just gonna move on to the next word, which is stretch marks, which is something that women often worry about. Stretch marks. This is after they've had a child. It can take a little while for their body to kind of get back to how it was before. So obviously, at the beginning, they had like this beautiful figure, and then after having the child, because the you know their belly has been pushed out so much by the baby, that afterwards they get stretch marks, and it takes a little while for them to, you know, get their figure back. Some, you know, women often worry about not getting their beautiful figure back again. And there are loads of women on the internet, loads of celebrities who apparently have these amazing methods of getting their wonderful bodies back again after they've had kids. So it's a kind of a big deal, I guess, you know. Imagine what it must be like. Also, sometimes women, after they've had the child, they experience the baby blues. It's quite normal, apparently. Baby blues, that is when women experience postnatal depression. So I expect, you know, if you think about it, you've got like the build-up of like 9 months of everyone talking about it and all of the preparation that you've done, and then suddenly you have the child and boom, there it is. And suddenly you've got to look after this kid, and it's like an overwhelming responsibility, and you don't get much sleep, and there's a physical sort of trauma involved in it. And so ultimately it can be quite depressing, I suppose. Obviously there's a lot of joy, amazing joy that you've never experienced before in having your own child, but also that it can be quite an emotional experience too. So sometimes women get the baby blues or postnatal depression. I expect there's a hormone sort of imbalance as well, like a physical imbalance of the woman kind of getting her metabolism back again. So there you go, the postnatal depression and baby blues. Now, I'd like to sort of end that list of vocab on a more positive note, because I realise I've just gone through some negative things. And that's that all the people I know who've had kids, all the parents I know, and there's quite a few of them, it's a growing list of people now, because, well, it's about time. I mean, I'm in my mid-30s, so of course like a lot of my friends have got children, and it's about time, really, that I sort of followed suit, I expect. But all the people that I know who've had kids, they all say, yes, it's a challenge, but it's great. It's definitely worth it. So, you know, that's the positive side of it. It's a joyful thing to do. Okay, so that's the vocab. All right, and remember, you can see that list of vocab on the web page for this episode. And let me now go on to kind of give you some comments and opinions on pregnancy from the man's point of view. Okay, now we heard about it from Amber's point of view, from a woman's perspective. Let me tell you about it from a man's point of view. Now, I realize that I haven't had a kid myself, but I'm just going to kind of give you my comments as a bloke. All right. Again, you can read what I'm saying if you visit the webpage for this episode, and you can follow what I'm saying word for word now. OK, so comments and opinions on pregnancy from the man's point of view. Pregnancy is a wonderful thing and all that. Imagine finding out that you're going to be a mum or a dad. For the man, I imagine it's a complex feeling of pride, joy, protectiveness towards the woman, and total panic. Not for all men, but for some. It's scary for the woman, of course, because she goes through all these physical changes, and it can feel like there's an alien inside her or something. But also because she's facing the moment of childbirth, which must be very daunting because of the pain and the danger, not to mention the pressure of then looking after the baby when it arrives. These fears are also accompanied by amazing joy, I guess, but let's face it, it's also pretty scary, which is quite normal. But it can scare men quite a lot too. Obviously, it depends on the individual and everyone's different, but we often hear about men's reactions to finding out that they're going to be a dad. A lot of men are really proud and over the moon, which is great, but some men will freak out and run a mile at the mere mention of having kids. I'm sure you've experienced something like it. When you're in a relationship, and perhaps if you're a girl, you bring up the subject of children, and your boyfriend just freaks out, avoids the question, gets defensive, or perhaps just refuses to even talk about it. Guys, you know what I'm talking about, right? When that subject comes up, and you just want to say, whoa there, or just, I've just realised that I've got to go. Yeah, I've just remembered that I've got to leave and escape to just to somewhere else. I've got to go to Alaska. Yeah, because of salmon. Yeah, there's lots of salmon that need to be caught, and it's very important because the world needs salmon. So, bye. Now, obviously, that's the wrong thing to do, but that might be a kind of reaction that a man has in his head when he realizes that he's either going to be a dad or his girlfriend's talking about it. But why is this? Now, I'm not a dad yet, so I don't really have first-hand experience of this. But I suppose that it's kind of a big deal because a whole new responsibility has arrived and we want to do it properly. So it's a change, and that's a control issue. Suddenly the rules have changed and we feel a bit out of depth or something. Also, we feel that we're the providers, and so we want to make sure that everything is provided for, money, security, and so on. Men will often get a bit serious and look for more job security, but it can take a little while for the reality of it to sink in. Sometimes men just can't quite face the reality, and they need to do it in their own time. I'm talking about men's reactions to having kids, but I realise that to an extent it's a heavier burden for women. It must be a massive thing to do to bring someone into the world. But then again, I suppose the girls get the advantage of being able to create human life, which is pretty exceptional, I suppose. Is exceptional the right word? Well, I suppose like half the population can do it, which doesn't really make it exceptional, but you know what I mean. They don't do it alone, though. Hopefully they'll have someone else with them. Women immediately face the reality of pregnancy, although some do deny it. But sometimes it takes a while for the news to sink in for a man. It can take more time. For example, it doesn't sink in until they hear the heartbeat or see the sonogram of the baby, the antenatal scan of the baby, or even not until birth in some cases. Those are just my thoughts, and as I said, I'm not a dad yet, so I'm just speculating. I did do a quick Google search, and I found 7 fears that men experience. This is from a website called babycenter.com. Now, I would never normally search for this kind of thing. Who knows, maybe I'm just subconsciously gearing myself up for being a dad. Who knows? Anyway, what are those 7 fears, you might be thinking? So let me just have a look. I'm going to just get the website up here. 7 fears that men experience. Okay, here we are, babycenter.com. Not my most commonly frequented website. But they say that there are 7 fears, right? Security fears. Apparently, the biggest fear that men face is the one most deeply hardwired into our culture. Will I be able to protect and provide for my family? So there you go, security fears. I'm going to copy that and put it into the document that I'm working on here, this transcript. So I'm just doing that live. There you go, security fears. The next fear is performance fears, apparently. And it says, more than 80% of the fathers I come across in my practice say that they're worried that they wouldn't be able to perform when their partner was in labour. They're afraid of passing out, throwing up, or getting queasy in the presence of all those bodily fluids. All right, so this is just the sort of the stress of the moment of birth, and will the guy be able to handle it? To get queasy means to sort of feel sick. Okay. Let me just read what she says. Such fears may be based on cartoons and sitcoms and our culture's way of making fun of men. But two things become clear. All men expected it, and it almost never happens. In follow-up interviews, it turned out that only one out of 600 men fainted, and that was in August in Fresno in California, and that the air conditioning had gone out, and that two of the nurses had to leave the room too. So actually, it's not very common, according to this, for men to faint or have sort of, you know, that many difficulties. To faint, of course, is to pass out. You know, if you kind of... You see it in... It's true, you see it in movies and sitcoms. It's like the husband is there while his wife's giving birth and he's, like, watching. It's like, honey, I'm going to watch the... I want to be there for that special moment when the baby's born. And then the special moment arrives and he's like, oh, my... And he just faints. All right. Next one, next fear is paternity fears. Paternity fears. So... it says here, about half the new and expectant dads I interviewed eventually came around to admitting that they had fleeting thoughts that they weren't really the boy's father. Whoa. So I guess it's maybe sometimes guys aren't completely sure that they're the dad. Because you never, you know, can you be absolutely sure? Obviously, if you trust your partner, then that's enough. But, you know... Seems that some guys aren't completely sure. Hold on. Okay. Let me go onto page two of this web page and we'll have a look. The next one is a little bit dark, and that's mortality fears. And it says, when you're part of the beginning of a life, you can't avoid thinking about the end of life. Thoughts about your own mortality can loom large. You're not the youngest generation anymore, and your replacement has arrived. And if everything works out right, you'll die before your child does. For a lot of young men who go around thinking that they're immortal or invincible, that's a big change. All right, wow. So it does sort of represent like a big moment of change in your life, which ultimately sort of makes you think, oh my God, I'm not the sort of young, immortal guy anymore. The order has changed. It maybe brings you closer to your own mortality. Wow, this is a heavy episode, isn't it? All right, let's see what the other fears are. Fears for your partner or your child's health. Childbirth is a nerve-wracking experience. Scary things can happen to the person that you love most in the world. So there you go, just the sort of health fear there. I'm just adding that onto this document. Okay, what else do we have? Are you all right, everybody? Everyone okay? You're not getting uncomfortable? No, of course you're not. You're cool. Everyone's cool. It's fine. We're all relaxed and comfortable. No one's freaking out, right, guys? Good. So the next fear is relationship fears. And it says most often, men often fear that their partner will love the baby more than anyone on earth and exclude them from that intimate relationship. It's a very real fear of being replaced. Wow, so I guess some guys feel like once the baby arrives, their loving wife or girlfriend will say, well, got the baby, and I love the baby, and so you're like second on the list now. So maybe sort of men can feel a bit excluded or even a bit jealous. I wonder... Let me see. Is that it? Or no, there's another page. Wait a minute. Let me just see. She gave a bit of advice for that one. And it says, my advice to dads is to make it clear that this is his child too, and that he's a partner in raising him. He needs to spend time alone with his baby and sometimes kick mum out of the house. So I guess that means that dad needs to, you know, realise that he's also the dad's father, and that it's not just mum and baby, but that, you know, he's completely involved in it too. Next one is fears of women's medicine. All right. Men are not used to the ob-gyn establishment. I don't know what that means. What's ob-gyn? I'm going to have to Google it. I think this is a special thing that I've never heard of. Obstetrics and gynecology. Obstetrics and gynecology. Surgical medical specialities. Dealing with the female reproductive organs. So this is basically all of the specialist knowledge relating to this subject. So guys, you know, might feel that they don't know enough about all of the science, and as a result, they feel kind of a bit alienated about it. You know, like the environment of a maternity ward can feel a bit cold and a bit weird. So being prepared, apparently, is a good idea. Making decisions together about the kind of care that you want for your partner and the baby helps tremendously. So also, just reading up, just doing your reading is important. I wonder how many of you are actually taking on this advice. Are any of you actually thinking of becoming a dad? I actually had a bit of text chat. I exchanged some emails with a listener to this podcast, Zdenek. And you know Zdenek, he's got his own podcast. It's called Zdenek's English Podcast. And we had a bit of a chat about this topic. And he said that, what did he say? He said that basically he freaked out a little bit. Because, I don't know if he's ready to be a dad. But that's up to him. He can tell you and us and me what he thinks about that. Zdenek, how are you doing? You okay? You're not freaking out, are you? Don't worry, mate. It's all normal and natural and everything's cool and groovy. Okay, and anyway, you don't need to worry about it at this stage because you're like a single guy, the Czech Republic's most eligible bachelor, let's say. Any women in the Czech Republic, you think, I need a cool guy who is kind of single and speaks good English and can help me with my English, and he's got a sense of humour. Look no further. Zdenek Lukas, he's out there. You can find him on the internet. Zdenek's English Podcast. Check him out. That's it. Zdenek, I'm just hooking you up. All right, mate? Good. Okay. Okay, the sort of transcript is going to begin again here. In the end, though, although it's a bit overwhelming, it's also great because you get to see your child grow through all these important stages in their life, like the first words, the first steps, etc. And you get to relive your childhood a little bit too. So now let's hear from a real father expressing his experience in a really honest way. This is Louis C.K., talking about being a father. Who is Louis C.K.? Basically, he's a really funny, in my opinion, comedian from the States. He's kind of like the biggest comic in the USA at the moment. And this is a video that he recorded, I'm not sure when, a couple of years ago. And it's a video relating to Father's Day. I think he put it out onto the internet on Father's Day. Louis C.K. often talks about being a father. This video isn't really part of his stand-up comedy routine. It's more just a message to fathers out there. So first you'll hear Louis C.K. defending himself against people who might assume that he's a bad father because they see him texting on his mobile phone while walking with his daughter. It looks like he's not really giving her the proper amount of attention. But in fact, he's a pretty good dad. He's not perfect, but it seems that his kids love him. He also talks about how he decided to be a good dad and to give it his best shot. So here it is, Louis C.K. talking about being a dad.
A few days ago, I was leaving a restaurant with my youngest daughter, and I was holding her hand, and I was texting with this hand. Yeah, I'm that guy. A woman walked by, and she gave me a dirty look like, you should pay more attention to your kid. Okay, guilty, but I have something to say to that woman. This is why I'm able to spend time with my kids when I should be at work. It was noon on a Thursday, okay? I had a crazy amount of work to do, but my kid graduated from preschool that day, and I wanted to take her to lunch. And it was a great lunch. We sat at the same side of the table the way she likes. We shared a chicken cutlet. I ate some of her chicken cutlet. We looked at her drawings. She told me many stories about the chinchilla in the classroom. And so now I'm texting and you walk by, bad father. What do you know? Okay, I'm being defensive. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have been texting. You know, when my kids were younger, I used to avoid them. I used to sit on the toilet till my legs fell asleep. You want to know why your father spends so long in the toilet? Because he's not sure he wants to be a father. I felt like being a dad was taking away everything I wanted to be. And I was right. But so what? What's so great about our lives? What the hell is an adult without kids? What's the point? So I got off the toilet. I flushed down my personal dreams. And I decided, I'm going to be a dad. I'm not going to be mom's assistant. That's depressing. Don't do that if you're a dad. Just wait for her to write you a list. Walk around the store staring at it and call her from the cereal aisle to make sure you got the right thing. Be a man. Make your own list.
Do we need any avocados?
Fathers have skills that they never use at home. You run a landscaping business and you can't dress and feed a four-year-old? Take it on.
Break them up.
Spend time with your kids and have your own ideas about what they need. Give into it. It won't take away your manhood. It'll give it to you. I did that. I spent more time with my kids. I took it on. I found out that I'm a pretty bad father. I make a lot of mistakes. I don't know what I'm doing. But my kids love me. Go figure.
Go figure. Yeah, there you go. That was Louis C.K. giving you his personal experience of sort of struggling to be a dad and then just sort of facing up to it and taking on the challenge of like being a proper dad. And I like hearing that. I think that's a quite a touching and very well put thing that he just said. Now, I wonder if you understood everything he said. You've probably got used to listening to me with my kind of British English accent and then hearing Louis C.K., who is from the east coast of the U.S. He's originally from Boston, but he's basically living in New York now. It might have been a little harder to understand what he said. I've got the whole thing here transcribed, so I'm just going to go through it again in my voice just to give you a chance to pick up perhaps some of the things that you may have missed. You can read this. As I've said earlier, you can read it on teacherluke.wordpress.com, episode 162. And let me just read it for you, and then we'll probably call it a day on this episode of the podcast. So here we go. This is Louis C.K.'s words, just read by Luke from Luke's English podcast. A few days ago, I was leaving a restaurant with my youngest daughter, and I was holding her hand, and I was texting with this hand. Yeah. I'm that guy. A woman walked by and she gave me a dirty look like, you should pay more attention to your kid. Okay, guilty. But I have something to say to that woman. This is why I'm able to spend time with my kids when I should be at work. It was noon on a Thursday, okay? I had a crazy amount of work to do, but my kid graduated from preschool that day and I wanted to take her to lunch. And it was a great lunch. We sat at the same side of the table, the way she likes. We shared a chicken cutlet. I ate some of her chicken cutlet. We looked at her drawings. She told me many stories about the chinchilla in the classroom. And so now I'm texting and you walk by and, bad father. What do you know? Okay, I'm being defensive. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have been texting. You know, when my kids were younger, I used to avoid them. I used to sit on the toilet until my legs fell asleep. You want to know why your father spent so long in the toilet? Because he's not sure he wants to be a father. I felt like being a dad was taking away everything I wanted to be. And I was right. But so what? What's so great about our lives? What the hell is an adult without kids? What's the point? So I got off the toilet, I flushed down my personal dreams, and I decided, I'm going to be a dad. I'm not going to be mum's assistant. That's depressing. Don't do that if you're a dad. Just wait for her to write you a list, walk around the store staring at it, call her from the cereal aisle to make sure you've got the right thing. Be a man. Make your own list. Fathers have skills that they never use at home. You run a landscaping business and you can't dress and feed a four-year-old? Take it on. Spend time with your kids and have your own ideas about what they need. Get into it. It won't take away your manhood. It'll give it to you. I did that. I spent more time with my kids. I took it on. I found out that I'm a pretty bad father. I make a lot of mistakes. I don't know what I'm doing, but my kids love me. Go figure. Okay. So, go figure. Go figure. That basically means, like, let's see, when you don't really understand something, you'd say, just go figure. What do we say in British English instead of go figure? Go figure. Like, well, you know, you work it out, I suppose. It's something like, well, you work it out, meaning I don't understand. Just work it out. You work it out. All right, so, I mean, that's what Louis C.K. thinks. I'm not completely sure I agree with what he said about what's the point of being single, because I think it's still valid to be an adult without children. I think there's still contribution that you can make. It's still a valid thing. But I understand his decision to, like, take control and actually actively take part in being a dad. And from what I know about Louis C.K., that was actually a very important moment in his life. It was a kind of a turning point where he decided to take control, starting with his family. And as a result, like, things turned around for him. And now he's, like, having massive success with his TV show and other things. And I think it kind of comes from the fact that he just took he got his priorities right. He put his family first, and let that kind of feed into his comedy. And as a result, it just sort of slotted into place. That's the end of this episode of Luke's English Podcast. I've got some sort of news and stuff to tell you. I'm going to have to do it in another episode. My phone is ringing. It's on vibrate. So I'm going to have to answer that. I hope that you've enjoyed the episode. I hope that you found it useful, and that now if you end up having a conversation about, you know, having a baby, as you probably will do eventually, that you'll be able to do it. You'll know all the right words and things. Leave your comments. As usual, I'm always interested to know what you think. So go to teacherluke.wordpress.com and leave your comments on this episode. I'd like to hear your opinions. I'd like to read your opinions there. Okay, thanks very much for listening. This has been Luke's English Podcast, and for now, it's bye, 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 bye. You've been listening to Luke's English Podcast. In fact, you are still listening to Luke's English Podcast. In just a couple of seconds, you're going to stop listening to Luke's English Podcast, but for now, you're definitely still listening to Luke's English Podcast. And all it remains for me to say is thanks again for listening to Luke's English Podcast.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.